Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. Very pleased to be with you this Sunday morning. Coming up on today's program, we've got Senior Voices. Bill Felker has this week's Poor Will's Almanac. And later in the show, we'll give you the details on the Tour de Gem, the maiden voyage for a charity bike ride coming up in September, something you may want to be a part of. First, at least three police departments say they were not aware of this week's scheduled active shooter exercises at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. During the training, 911 calls prompted a base lockdown and massive police response. WISO's April Leslie has more.
Fairborn 911, where's your emergency?
Yes, sir. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
The Fairborn Police Department received 911 calls Thursday afternoon from at least two people reporting what they thought was an active shooter at the Wright-Patterson Medical Center. At a late afternoon press conference Thursday, Wright-Patterson Colonel Tom Sherman says the base also received at least one 911 call. The call triggered a lockdown that closed base entrances and stopped traffic on surrounding streets for around 3 hours.
We received a 911 telephone call from an individual inside the hospital who truly believed that there was an emergent situation taking place. At that point in time, any of our exercise situations immediately go into pause, and we begin to respond according to the threat which has been dictated to us via that 911.
They investigated the potential threat, working their way through each floor of the medical center. Wright-Pat tweeted an all-clear at around 3:30 p.m., saying there was no, quote, real-world active shooter incident and all base personnel were safe. Colonel Sherman says all base employees were notified in advance about the active shooter training exercise and officials were satisfied with the response. But in the meantime, first responders from a number of state and local police and fire departments had rushed to the base. The Dayton, Riverside, and Fairborn police departments all tell WYSO they were unaware of the scheduled active shooter training when they responded to the 911 calls. It's unclear exactly what prompted the calls. Dr. Patrick Oliver, a Cedarville University criminal justice professor and former Fairborn police chief, says ideally when agencies conduct active shooter training, notifications are issued to staff, first responders, and the media.
So people need to be aware that there is active shooter training. That is the attempt to minimize a fraudulent call.
Air Force officials say the investigation into what led to Thursday's false alarm is ongoing. For WYSO, I'm April Leslie.
And WYSO's Jess Mador also contributed to that report. The Animal Resource Center in Montgomery County is running their Summer of Love adoption specials, extending it, in fact, through August 14th. ARC Director Mark Kumpf tells us the center is extending the adoption sale because the center is operating at capacity.
We are full. And when we are full, that means there are some great deals on dogs and cats available for adoption. And the Summer of Love adoption special is going on here at the Animal Resource Center now through August 14th. And we're looking for folks to come in and adopt some of our wonderful dogs and cats, puppies and kittens, and give them a great home.
And so our listeners can find out about those adoption specials on your website. But these adoptions include several things like microchips and the 2018 license for the pet.
Absolutely. It is a great package deal. Every animal that leaves the shelter is spayed or neutered. They are microchipped. If it's a dog, they leave with a 2018 license. They've had at least their first round of vaccinations. They've been dewormed. Puppies and adult dogs come with lifetime behavior classes that you can attend here at the Animal Resource Center. So if you take them home and they need a little bit of extra help, as long as you have your pet, you're welcome to attend our classes, and there's no extra charge for those. You know, folks, this is the best deal you could look to find a new dog or cat.
As you mentioned, you're full up. Can you tell me how many animals come through your facility annually?
Well, we take in about 7,000 animals a year between dogs and cats, and you know, a lot of those animals, thankfully, do go home. You know, a lot of folks do come looking for their pets. But we get a lot of animals that owners can no longer take care of or strays that no one reclaims. And, you know, we run those animals through a series of health and behavior checks to make sure that we're trying to put the best canine and feline citizens out there for adoption. And then we look for folks to come in and adopt.
No one likes to think about this, but can you tell me what happens if these pets are or these animals are not adopted out or able to find homes here in the Miami Valley?
Well, we also work with a network of rescue organizations. We work closely with the Humane Society of Greater Dayton as well as CICSA, and where we find animals that are not able to go out for direct adoption or end up with some of those difficulties, we count on our rescue partners. And actually this year we've transferred, you know, literally hundreds of animals to our rescue partners who have the ability to give those animals extra time, work with them, work with health issues, work with behavior issues to get them to where they can be adopted out to families. You know, we, like any open admission shelter, you know, we have to make some difficult choices. And unfortunately, that means that some animals aren't able to leave either because of their health condition or they're simply not safe to adopt or have in a family. And that's unfortunate. But we are working diligently, and we are getting out of here every day.
You say around 7,000 come through your facility annually. How many adoptions do you handle each year?
Our what we call live release rate, which is how shelters gauge those things, roughly 70% right now for 2018 are leaving, either going back to an owner, going out to a new adopted family, or being transferred to one of our rescue partners. Again, we're working on different ways to raise that number up.
The Summer of Love Adoption Special is running over the next few weeks, I understand, at least through the 14th. Is that correct?
It's running through August 14th right now, and you know, as we see how our inventory and numbers add up, that sale may be extended. We're looking for folks to come in and adopt. If there was ever a great time to adopt, now is it. And if you can't find what you're looking for here at the Animal Resource Center, we recommend folks check with our, you know, our rescue partners. The Humane Society of Greater Dayton and CICSA both have specials going on periodically. And if you can't find your best friend here, we really suggest, you know, let your fingers do the walking. All the shelters have adoptable pets that you can view online. For us, you could go to petharbor.com and not even have to leave the safety of your own home to check and see what's here and decide whether or not there's something that might float your boat.
Great. And what's your direct website where folks can get also information about what you do there at the Animal Resource Center?
County website is www.mcohio.org/animal shelter, spelled out all as one word. And folks can view various links there as well as on our homepage. Click to links to show adoptable animals as well as animals that are stray. You know, if folks are missing their pets, we tell them, please, 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 please come check out and see if your pet is here.
Mark Kumpf with the Montgomery County Animal Resource Center. Mark, thanks for your time and good luck with this season of adoptions.
The summer of love continues. Thanks so much for having us. We look forward to meeting some folks and some new owners.
The Animal Resource Center is located at 6790 Webster Street in Dayton. And again, if you want to adopt a forever friend, you can email the Animal Resource Center at animalshelter@mcohio.org or give them a call, 937-898-4457. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend. The Rotary Club of Dayton is hosting its very first Tour de Gem. It's a charity bike ride event with the mission of fostering a sense of community, history, pride, and healthy living through cycling. But organizers also see it as a way to establish an ongoing fundraising vehicle for local charities. The ride is September 2nd, but organizer Jerry Chadwick says now is the time for interested riders of all levels and abilities to register and start fundraising for the charity of their choice. Jerry, thanks for speaking with us, and let's talk about Tour de Gem. How did it all get started?
I've been a participant of a charitable bike ride for JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, for about 12 years now. And a couple of the guys that I've ridden with, Scott Backer and Walt Hibner, and I had been talking about ways to build a ride in the Dayton area that would support local charities, similar to a ride that we had done with JDRF, El Tour de Tucson, which is actually about the same metropolitan area population-wise as Dayton is, has 9,000 riders, raised $12 million for 50-plus charities. And we felt that with the importance of biking in the Dayton region, the population, the philanthropic bent of the people in the region, as well as being able to pull easily from Columbus and Cincinnati, that we could aspire to put a ride together that would be something similar to El Tour de Tucson.
Is this the first year for this event?
The inaugural event and all the bumps and bruises that go along with it. It's been a lot of fun. We've got a great committee that has a lot of experience participating in cycling events. So we feel like we've We've got a great template to work with and that we can build off of into the future.
I'm just curious, the event is in September, and how long have you been planning this event? And tell me some of the challenges that you've hit along the way.
The ride is on September 2nd, the Sunday of Labor Day, and we've been planning it. I'm going to say we really got going in October. Some of the challenges, well, one is we chose a back office system to use as our website and a way for people to register and do their fundraising. And you know, if you could see me, I'm your typical 60-something gray-haired guy, and somewhere I don't know how this happened, but I ended up being the guy who got stuck with the technology. And I would say that was one of the harder things, was just building out the website and the platform. The other thing is, as everybody would expect with a first, conveying the concept, getting people comfortable with it, and then really building up our rider base. But I'm happy to say that that seems to be taking off.
I had a quick look at your website. It looks like sponsorships and donations are rolling in. Let's talk about your actual goals for the event and what you hope to accomplish.
Sure. The goal this year was to get as many as 500 riders and raise $250,000 that would be distributed to the charities that are participating. And right now we have 47 nonprofit partners. Very excited about that. It is into the next month, so it's crunch time now, and all the partners are working really hard to build their teams and make people comfortable with something that's pretty unusual for most folks, and that's that fundraising component.
As you said, things are moving on. It's crunch time. This is the time for people to register if they want to become involved.
Yes. If you go to our website, www.tourtogem.org, you can go to the charities tab, and you'll see a list of the nonprofits that are partnering with us on this ride. You can click on any one of them. It'll take you over to their team site so you can get a sense of what their mission is and how they are affecting positive change in the Miami Valley. If you find a charity that you want to support, join their team. And all the money's raised, less a small percentage of an admin fee for our back office system, gets granted to that charity whose riders earn the money. And that happens because we're a component fund of the Dayton Foundation. So the Dayton Foundation will actually be granting the money back to those nonprofits.
Okay, and if someone is interested in riding but they're not sure about their fundraising capabilities, how can you help with that?
Under About the Event, we've got a tab for fundraising tips. What we've really found, and this is years of experience of doing this, is ask everybody, friends, families, coworkers, acquaintances. Nobody gets offended when you ask them for a donation to a worthy cause. So understand what the personal message is going to be, why you're writing for that charity, what they do, what's compelling, and wrap your ask around that. People who want to donate will. People who don't, won't, but they won't hold it against you. As a matter of fact, I've had some rides where, for whatever reason, I forgot to ask somebody to make a donation. I come back from my ride, they heard about it, and they, why didn't you ask? Whoops. So it's that easy. Also on the website, in that section, we have four people, Kate Vreiner, Steve Noss, and Jordan and Ian Hibner, who do a video clip on their success with fundraising for similar types of events. And I think the common message is there, just throw it out to the largest possible audience, and you should have success. I mean, if you break it down, the $150 minimum fundraising goal is six friends, family, coworkers who donate $25. So really, that's within everybody's capability.
I think cycling tours are pretty exciting for spectators. Can you tell me what the path will be and or where this will take place and opportunities to just observe the excitement?
Probably the closest thing to a designated area would be coming into the start-finish line down at Patterson and Monument. Tour de Gem is, in fact, a tour of the primarily South Dayton region for this ride. And we're going to start downtown at Don Crawford Plaza, which is the plaza in front of Fifth Third Field. That's going to be the start-finish line for the Century Riders. And we're going to go south and then west. So we're going to go through Moraine, West Carrollton, Miamisburg, Springboro, head west to Germantown, Farmersville, hit the Dayton VA Hospital, and then come in down 3rd Street back into downtown. We're then going to leave Don Crawford Plaza and head east. So we're going to go by the Air Force Museum up into Wright State University, head south through Beaver Creek, Bellbrook, and into Centerville. And then we're going to finish up by coming down State Route 48. And we're pretty excited about that. If we can get some people out cheering those folks on, so we'll have had people who have ridden 30 miles, the half metric century, 48 miles, the half century, 64 miles, the full metric, and then 103 miles for the century. So we're going to have some folks at every level who are going to be coming back home to the finish line who will absolutely love to have your support.
Great. And do you still have opportunities for sponsorships? You still need volunteers?
So, yes. You can go to the website, and there is a volunteer tab. And we're looking for blocks of people at different times, and then assignments will be distributed later. But absolutely looking for volunteers, and would appreciate anybody's help out there. As far as sponsors go, yeah, we're still working on sponsors, and any group, any business that would like to get involved with sponsoring, please contact us at info@tourdegem.org. And I'll probably be the guy who gets back to you.
All right. So the call to action for volunteers and also sponsors and riders is still up. And what's the website where they can look at more details?
www.tourdegem.org. Should have just about everything you need. One of the things that is really important to get across to riders is that this is built for riders of any capability and experience level. We're going to have a 3 to 10 mile fun ride sponsored by the Huffy Corporation down on the bike path just adjacent to Riverscape. So anybody can climb on a bike for 3 miles. And because it's an out and back, can literally do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. And then we've got the 30 mile or just about a half metric century route. So people who have been out and they've been on the bike path and they've ridden 15, 20 miles, you can absolutely do a 30-mile route here. Every 15 miles, we're going to have fully supported rest stops so that, you know, if you're going to try for that 30-miler, it's two chunks of 15 miles. And we feel very comfortable that people can stretch it a little bit. So that's the whole goal, Jerry, is just to make sure that anybody who wants to participate can find a place on this ride and really feel comfortable. One of the things about fundraising rides is, and I just believe this wholeheartedly, is your job is done when you hit your fundraising goal. The ride should be fun. You need to come to the finish line with a smile on your face, and we're going to make every effort to make sure that's the case.
Great. It sounds like a wonderful event, and some organizations in the Miami Valley will surely benefit. Jerry Chadwick is co-chair of the 2018 Tour de Gem. Thanks for your time and the information. Good luck with the event.
Thanks, Jerry. Please go to the website, take a look, and I think you'll find that that there's something meaningful in there. There's a nonprofit that's meaningful to you that you'd have a lot of fun going out and knowing that you helped to support their cause and mission.
Jerry, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jerry.
Ohio parents doing some back-to-school shopping over the weekend or getting a break from the state's sales tax. Today is the final day. The state is waiving its 5.75% sales tax for some clothing items, school supplies, and school instructional materials. State Representative Niraj Antani says the study of the first sales tax waiver in 2015 shows the holiday generated an extra $4.7 million for the state's economy. He also says Ohio consumers saved about $3.3 million on those purchases.
So the Ohio sales tax holiday is taking place this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All clothing items, $75 and below per item. School instructional materials and school supplies, $20 and below per item, are sales tax-free in Ohio this weekend, Friday to Sunday. We're very excited that This is now happening for its fourth time. The few couple times were a pilot project, and from here on out, it is now permanent. So every first weekend in August will be the Ohio sales tax holiday, and we're excited to offer, you know, this tax cut to families who are going back to school, and also a boost to businesses who, you know, usually see August as a slow month.
Okay, so it's a kind of a dual purpose. It gives a little jolt to the economy by helping out retailers and residents in the state.
That's right. You know, I think it's a win-win. It's a tax cut for working families who are going back to school, you know, with their kids, but also a boost to, you know, our retailers who, you know, in recent times have been struggling a little bit in August, which is usually a slow month. And so, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. You know, we hope people take advantage of it, and we really think that it'll become a Black Friday-like weekend in the future as more and more people, you know, learn of the holiday as it now is permanent.
So you say this is now permanent. What efforts took place to make that happen?
Well, you know, the first couple of years we had, it was a pilot program to see how it goes. We collected data. The governor's administration was, you know, concerned that it would result in a large tax loss for the state. And, you know, the data showed that it did not. And so, you know, under a bill, you know, last year, actually this year, it is now permanent going forward. So we will see it the first weekend in every August from now on. And so we're very excited that it's now permanent. In past years, there's been uncertainty every year of whether it would happen or not. And now we know for sure it will happen, you know, every year into perpetuity.
All right. So it worked out for retailers and residents. But what actually happened at the state level as far as tax revenue? Was it just kind of a something neutral for the state?
Yeah. So, you know, the data shows that it ended up being a wash. I mean, it really is a minimal impact, if that. You know, it's a huge impact for, you know, families who are spending thousands of dollars, you know, over the decade or plus that they're sending their kids to school. And so, you know, the revenue impact to, you know, the state is negligible, whereas, you know, we believe it's a huge impact for, you know, taxpayers and also businesses.
Really appreciate the heads up on this, because yeah, I think it's something families will want to know about.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Republican State Representative Niraj Antani of Miamisburg. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend. This week on Senior Voices, Michael Whitlow has some wise words for us. He's a 65-year-old veteran of the Marines who's raised his two nieces, and he plans to pass on his home to them someday. But as he told interviewer Alan Steiger, he's in no hurry.
Any other special words of wisdom you'd like to pass along?
No, it's just people just need to just quit trying to rush through life. They just really do. And you do, you're going to live a lot longer. You'll live a lot longer because, like I say, wherever you're going, it's going to be there when you get there. So just take your time. Just take your time. And maybe one day the United States will get their act together and quit all this foolishness out here, because it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. And that's how I see it, you know what I'm saying? So that's my little wisdom for today. Take your time, take your time. I mean, I can go to the store. People say, man, why you walk so slow? Taking my time, the store going to be there when I get there. You know, take your time. And they just asked me that today. Why you walk so slow? What, run? You know? So that's where I'm at with that. I kind of want to live a little bit longer. I'm battling cancer now, and I've already died on the surgery table, and I'm lucky enough for them to bring me back to life. And you know what? When you die and you lucky enough to come back, for me, it's what I found out is that's when you realize, I don't care if you 80, 90, 100 years old, that's when you realize you ain't been on this planet that long. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you 200, but when you die and you can come back and you, oh, man, no, you can't kill me now. It's like I'm just being born, you. And that's when you realize you haven't really been here as long as what you thought you were in your physical being now. And that's what I saw. So that's another little piece of wisdom, you know.
when you came back like that, was what was some of the things that you thought that you wanted to accomplish then?
Well, again, take life a lot slower. I see life on a whole different realm, I guess that's the word I want to use. You know, the grass start looking greener. You know what I'm saying? You don't take life, you don't take things for granted no more. You know what I'm saying? You ready to live your life, you know. Now, me being at 65, you know, whatever I can do, you know, it's a blessing for me, you know. But that's where I met with that. My whole thing with life, period, is just quit rushing. Just quit rushing, that's all. Now, if you want to die quicker, then rush. And see how that's going to work out for you. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Whitlow was interviewed by Community Voices producer Alan Steiger. This interview was edited by Community Voices producer and Senior Voices project coordinator Jocelyn Robinson. Senior Voices is a collaboration between the Dayton Metro Library, Rebuilding Together Dayton, and WYSO. The series is made possible through the generous support of the Delmar Healthcare Fund of the Dayton Foundation.
This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac for the first week of late summer. The transition week from the black-eyed Susan Moon to the Blackberry Jam Moon. The third week of the Sun in Leo. When deep summer's wildflowers start to pale, then blackberries redden and turn sweet and black, perfect for cobblers and jam. And then, fittingly enough, the black-eyed Susan Moon, reaching perigee, its position closest to Earth on August 10th, becomes the Blackberry Jam Moon the very next day. Now, that Blackberry Jam Moon, like all new moons, gives little light, and its faint crescent will have set before the major planets, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, follow the sunset, and it will offer no light to interfere with the visibility of the Perseid meteors up to 60 in an hour, August 11th through the 13th, in the east, a little after midnight. As you wait for shooting stars, find Perseus well up in the east, leading the first stars of Orion out of the Earth. And then the Perseid meteors will emanate from that corner of the sky and shoot out to find Pegasus above you. This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. I'll be back again next week with notes for the second week of late summer. In the meantime, plan your nighttime vigil. Go out after dark and look for Venus in the west and Jupiter and Saturn and Mars along the southern horizon. And by the time Venus and Jupiter have set, then begin watching for the Perseid meteors. And if you stay up all night, you might see Saturn and Mars disappear. And then you might watch the new Blackberry Jam Moon rising before the sun. Poor Will's Almanac for 2019 is now available. You can order your copy on Amazon.
Bill Felker contributes to newspapers nationwide, including the Yellow Springs News. Bill resides in Yellow Springs. Poor Will's Almanac is also available as a podcast at wyso.org.
That's it for this edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world since 1958, thanks to generous listeners like you. I'm Jerry Kenny. Coming up next on WYSO, it's Vic McCunis with The Book Nook.